What if everything we've been told about women in the workplace is backwards? Picture a room full of accomplished professional women at Google sitting through yet another workshop on successful communication. They're being taught once again that their natural communication styles are deficient. Women apologize too much, speak too emotionally, use too many qualifiers. The solution? Be more like men. Be aggressive, be arrogant, state opinions as facts. This scene captures the fundamental problem with modern corporate feminism. It assumes women are broken and need fixing. But what if the system itself is the problem? Despite two decades of resources devoted to promoting women in power, female Fortune 500 CEOs hover around 5%, and the wage gap has barely budged. Maybe it's time to stop asking women to change and start questioning why we're playing a game designed without us in mind. Modern feminism has morphed from fighting for women's freedom to prescribing exactly what choices women should make. When influential voices declare that an equal world means women running half of all companies, they reveal a troubling assumption that corporate leadership represents the pinnacle of human achievement. Yet when researchers ask women about their career aspirations, most don't dream of corner offices. Only 18% want to be CEOs, citing work-life balance concerns, office politics, and genuine disinterest in that type of work. Interestingly, men cite identical reasons at similar rates, yet only women's choices get dismissed as products of cultural conditioning rather than authentic preferences. Here's where it gets fascinating. While we obsess over women's supposed lack of leadership ambition, we completely ignore men's domestic ambition gap. Nobody questions why men aren't clamoring to take on more household responsibilities the way we scrutinize women for not wanting executive roles. This double standard reveals what's really happening. We're not actually concerned about ambition or equality. We're concerned that women aren't conforming to male definitions of success. True leadership, the kind that inspires, serves, and creates positive change, rarely correlates with corporate advancement. The most impressive leaders often never make it to the top because they're too busy doing meaningful work rather than playing political games. We've been sold a story, Women Lack Confidence, explaining why they don't advance professionally. Bestsellers claim women underestimate themselves, holding back from opportunities men seize. But these studies never asked whether participants actually cared about the competitions or had other priorities. Real confidence isn't the absence of doubt. It's trusting yourself to think, learn, and respond to uncertainty. Confident people comfortably say, "I don't know," when genuinely unsure. The opposite of confidence isn't hesitation, it's ego, the desperate need to appear right at all costs. Here's the kicker. McKinsey found exactly 13% of both men and women reported lacking confidence in their ability to succeed as executives. Identical percentages. The confidence gap theory collapses. What we're really measuring isn't confidence, but willingness to display bravado, a trait correlating with gender, but not actual competence. Modern feminism has developed a troubling habit, girl shaming. Popular feminist literature increasingly prescribes rebelling against stereotypically feminine traits. Books claim women don't negotiate enough, costing them significant earnings. Yet research shows women ask for promotions at comparable rates to men. Other bestsellers list female mistakes, including being the conscience, needing to be liked, telling the truth, decorating offices comfortably, feeding others, helping, taking responsibility, smiling, and crying. The message? Female traits are weaknesses to be eliminated. Research shows extroversion, assertiveness, and dominance strongly predicts leadership emergence, while agreeableness, warmth, and cooperation is a liability for advancement. Being well-liked doesn't lead to career success. Successful women are liked less than successful men. We're not teaching women to be confident. We're teaching them to be disagreeable. That's not empowerment. It's assimilation. Women naturally excel at building supportive networks, from motherhood communities to book clubs. At Google, thousands of professional women devoted time helping each other through an anonymous email group for new mothers. No agendas, just genuine support. The romance novel industry, a billion-dollar powerhouse, features female authors regularly mentoring newcomers on craft and business, rare in other writing communities. Yet corporate mentorship initiatives like lean-in circles typically fizzle after one meeting. Corporate America, designed through a male worldview, defines power narrowly through competition and dominance, fundamentally undermining relationship-based power. When advancement becomes zero-sum, it erodes the collaborative relationships that give women strength. We're not failing at corporate mentorship because women lack relationship skills. We're failing because corporations destroy the collaborative environment where those skills flourish. Women have dominated academic achievement since 1982, earning the majority of degrees at all levels. Yet this success vanishes in corporate settings. The difference? Objectivity. In school, test scores determine success. Competence matters more than perception. Corporate environments operate differently. Calibration meetings determine employee worth through committees of managers who often know little about actual work. Success goes to whoever has the most aggressive advocate, not the most competent employee. Orchestras prove this point. Female representation in top orchestras jumped from under 5% in the 1970s to over 30% after implementing blind auditions, dramatically outpacing corporate progress, where female CEOs remain around 4%. At Facebook, qualified internal resources were passed over for $250,000 consultants who took 10 months instead of 2 to create sales materials. Why? Announcing major consulting engagements looked more impressive. Without clear goals to assess outcomes, appearing important mattered more than solving problems. Corporate culture's lack of objectivity rewards male-dominant behaviors as proxies for competence. Billy Beane transformed the Oakland A's by replacing traditional scouting with statistical analysis, exposing how poorly humans judge talent. In today's information economy, where success lacks tangible metrics, visibility becomes the ultimate measure-making, overconfidence a career accelerator despite its destructive outcomes. Economists analyzing 3 million stock transactions found women outperformed men because men traded 50% more frequently, driven by overconfidence. Men also panic sold during the 2008 crisis, missing the recovery. Without clear metrics, activity masquerades as progress. Systemic change breaks this cycle. The EU increased organ donation by switching DMV forms from opt-in to opt-out, a small environmental shift that outperformed direct appeals. Workplaces need similar adjustments: flexibility, childcare support, remote work options. Google's 2-year study revealed team success depends not on individual talent, but psychological safety, feeling secure taking risks without embarrassment. Instead of forcing people to fit systems, adjust systems to accommodate diversity. Picture your 80-year-old self looking back. Would she care about that missed promotion or salary comparison? Or would she tell you life is messy and what matters is being true to yourself? This perspective reveals we've been measuring success all wrong. The widely cited gender pay gap, women earning 77 cents per male dollar, largely reflects women choosing less lucrative professions. Adjusting for hours, experience, level, and profession choice shrinks the gap to 96%, meaning different pay for identical work explains at most 4%. Money should be a tool for well-being, not an end goal. One woman would gladly return $75,000 to escape a toxic manager. With only 18% of women desiring executive positions, but 80% wanting affordable childcare, which issue deserves more attention? True empowerment isn't pushing women toward unwanted roles. It's creating systems honoring diverse definitions of success. Leaning out doesn't mean quitting. It means rejecting others' narratives about success and recognizing current institutions aren't designed for everyone's needs. Your life is yours to define.